scripture lesson is
taken from the book of Judges. Judges chapter 13. I'm beginning a series I'm calling Lessons from a Desolate Life. And that is, we're going to be looking at Samson, one of my favorite Bible stories when I was a kid and now. But we're going to be looking at Samson over the next few weeks and the lessons that God has for us from his life. We start in Judges chapter 13. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah, named Manoah, from the clan of the Danites, had a wife who was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are barren and childless, but you're going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines." And I'm going to summarize the rest of it in my message. She tells her husband that the angel gave her this message. His name is Manoah. And he says, "Well, I don't know what to do," even though Manoah in the story is a bit of a dope. I'm sorry it comes across that way. But one of the things I love about the Bible is it tells it like it is. He says, "Well, what are we supposed to do?" And he prays, and the Lord sends the angel again. And the angel tells him again this list of rules, which is the instruction from the law, from Numbers chapter 6. The Nazarite was a way that a person could dedicate themselves to the Lord and kind of be set apart. It's kind of like ordination. And among the Israelites, the tribe of Levi were supposed to be the holy tribe or the priestly tribe. But God made a provision for people that wanted to dedicate themselves to the Lord or be fully committed to the Lord and be recognized as such, kind of like what we'd call ordination today. It was a sign of commitment. And there were some symbolic things that they had to do. Some rituals that they had to do. In Numbers chapter 6, it says the Nazarite, this person who was not a Levite, not a priest, he couldn't drink wine or eat grapes or raisins. He was supposed to have nothing to do with the vine at all. And all of the stuff we find, sometimes people find the Old Testament so difficult because they're trying to think, well, what's this all about? And all of the symbols in the Old Testament they've got spiritual meaning. And I know it's easier to read the Gospels than it is to read the law. I know that it's easier to understand 1 and 2 Corinthians than it is to understand the book of Leviticus. I know. But you're not going to understand what the histories are unless you understand the background. And I've said this many times. Those of you that have heard my preaching here for years can go to sleep. And the rest of you, I use this all the time. It's like Monopoly. If I roll doubles in Monopoly, what do?
Roll again,
okay? If I roll doubles again, what do? Roll again. If I roll doubles again, what do? No, I go to jail. I go to jail. Why? Because it's in the rules. You wouldn't know that's what you're supposed to do unless you know the rules. So you find out that it's important for us to understand that there were rituals and there were things that Samson was supposed to do. One of those things was not to have anything to do with the vine. It went beyond the normal prescription for God's people. God's people were not supposed to be drunk. That's taught again in the New Testament. It says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. But the person that wanted to dedicate themselves as a Nazarite, they were going to go, it was kind of a symbol of, I'm going to be extra holy. I'm not only not going to get drunk, I'm not going to drink wine. I'm not only that, I'm not going to eat grapes. In fact, I'm not even going to eat raisins. No raisin bran. See? And that was just a symbol, a sign of commitment and saying, I'm going to be sober. Okay? And they were not supposed to be, they're not supposed to touch a dead body. That was part of the rules too. If somebody died, the family was responsible to care for the body until it was the funeral and it was put in the grave. But if someone related to a Nazarite died, the Nazarite, somebody else in the family had to care for the body, because that they were not even supposed to touch a body. It was a symbol. They were going to be clean and they were going to stay clean as they serve the Lord as a Nazarite. And the final thing, and we see some examples of this in Scripture, the final, besides Samson, they were not supposed to cut their hair. They had a visible sign that they had made this commitment to God, that they were going to be servants of the Lord. So that's the background. And Samson, before he's even born, he's among God's people. An angel announces his birth. He knows he's got a purpose in his life from the time he's a child. He's got these rituals that are supposed to be instructive for him. He's going to be a holy, holy person. That's the call on his life. He knows all that. And in this chapter, we see the limits that there are on a ritual. Because this is the background for Samson's life, and some of you already know it. What 14, 15, and 16 are going to be a great disappointment. He had every advantage. He had godly parents. He had the instruction from God through the law. He lived among God's people. He had this call on his life, and he had these rituals, including never, he had a sign on him, never going to get his hair cut. And this makes me want to brings me to the point I really want to make today. And that is, you decide how true the rituals are in your life. God doesn't decide if your rituals are good or not. God knows it. He knows everything. But you decide. Now, when I was in Oklahoma, I served as a Bible teacher in the juvenile detention center that was beside the church. And I was in there teaching a bunch of kids the Bible, and one of the kids raised his hand and he said, Pastor Russell, will God always forgive sin? I said, no. And all those kids went, what did you think the answer was yes? Did you think that? Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, God said, you people are so wicked, I'm sending the Babylonians. And rather than repent, they played chicken with God. You know? No, you won't send the Babylonians. We're your people. You love us. You will never send the Babylonians. The Babylonians came. They said, you won't destroy the temple. You won't destroy us because we got your temple. You need us. The Babylonians were right outside. They had the city of Jerusalem in siege. And then the children of Israel pray this wonderful prayer of repentance, chapter 14 of Jeremiah. You read that, you say, I could make a gospel tract that says all the right things. I'm sorry, Lord, and we're sorry, and we did wrong, and you know, can you fix this? You know, we know we're the problem, and we know why we're in trouble, and please, please forgive us. Chapter 15, God says, no, I know you don't mean it. See, they decided to pray that prayer. God understood that they didn't mean it. I said, now, to the boys in juvenile detention, I said, I don't know your heart. So any prayer you pray of repentance is going to be fine by me, because I'm not your judge. I don't know your heart. But in answer to your question, God will only forgive you if you mean it. If you're repentant. Now you think about the rituals that we do. We've got a bunch of rituals. We come to the altar sometimes for prayer. That's a sign, that's a public sign. I'm making a decision. I'm going to deal with an issue, or I'm going to follow Christ, or I just need prayer. We come to an altar. Who gets to decide whether that's really truly meaningful? Do I get to decide? I don't get to decide. God doesn't get to decide if coming to the altar is meaningful. You have to decide that. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Who decides whether the Lord's Prayer is meaningful? You do. You do. You say in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Who gets to decide whether that's a lie for you or not? Does God get to decide that? You have to decide that. Our rituals are limited by our hearts. And we see Samson, he's got all the right rituals. He's from the right family. He's got the right culture. He's got the great call on his life. We'll see how that goes. But for you and I, you know, on Judgment Day, there'll be some people that will stand before the Lord, and the Lord is going to say, "Get." And they'll say, "Yeah, but, you know, I prayed the Lord's Prayer every Sunday." "Yeah, I know. 1,000 times you told me. 1,000 times you prayed. Forgive us our debts as what?" "Yeah, you told me that 1,000 times, so I'm answering your prayer. Get!" You don't want to forgive? You decided that prayer meant nothing to you. But you said it every week and you felt, oh, all warm and cozy. Saying the prayers, doing the rituals. And the rituals are only as good as our intent is. And the Lord knows all things. We need to make sure in our lives that we're doing all we can to be genuine before the Lord. That's the key thing that I want to say. We want more than rituals. We want the reality. Now, you can't read this chapter and deal with the law without coming under conviction, because all of us, at some point or another, have prayed the Lord's Prayer while we've been thinking, "Why did she wear that dress?" Our minds have been, you know, all of us are disingenuous sometimes. Me included. And what does the law do for us? It drives us to our knees. If you want a synthesis, I wrote this little track, 7 reasons why I believe the Bible's true. It's in the back if you want it. And one of the reasons is that the writers agree with one another. And I use as the example of that Romans chapter 5, where it talks, there's a synthesis of the whole Bible in that one chapter. Isn't that amazing that you can do that? That's one of the things that convinces me it's inspired. But basically it says, sin was in the world before the law, and death was in the world as a result of sin. The law was added. Judges chapter 13 was added. The rules of the Nazarite were added so that we might know we need a Savior. So that the lies we tell ourselves would be exposed. That we'd have a chance to truly repent and say, Lord, will you please forgive me? The law was given as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ so we might genuinely be humbled before him and genuinely desire to walk with him. And it's my prayer for you, for us, that we might be genuine in our following Christ, that we might be committed, and that we might be dependent upon his grace. You know, I appreciate every year the cards. People make such an effort to write these beautiful cards, and they're really treasures. But lots of times I read them and I think, I've got no reward left in heaven because people have given me all the rewards right now. But the fact of the matter is, the only way I'm going to get to heaven is Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's the only way. And that's a good enough way for you and for me and for all of us. And my counsel for all of us is that we be genuine in our service for Christ.